should be okay. I know it takes a couple of seconds to start working, so that's the only thing. So as I'm talking, I think it should start working. Now, once again, just an explanation of where we are at. We're running at the start of the series almost. This term we are looking at the Holy Spirit, trying to understand Him, appreciate Him, and worship Him more in life. Last week we had a look at who the Spirit is, understanding bits of what He does so that we might understand who He is for us. Tonight we're focusing more on the promise of the Spirit. I also mentioned last week that you actually find the Spirit right through the Old Testament. He's always been there. He's not someone new who only came after Jesus went, but He's always been there. And we find that right in the beginning of the Bible when Genesis, for example, talks about the Spirit of God hovering over the waters, or in creation of man when God breathes into the nostrils of Adam, and the same word for breath that He uses is the word for Holy Spirit as well. So we find Him right through the Old Testament. If you look at Psalms, you'd find Him being mentioned. We find Him in Acts 2. We'll look at that later as well. But you find it being mentioned that God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. So He inspired all the people in the Old Testament to bring God's message to His people. So He's always been there. And a lot of promises were made about what He does and what He will do for us as well. A very well-known one is Ezekiel 36, which I'm sure a lot of you will know, where God says that He will give us His Spirit, and that the Spirit will take out the heart of stone we have and will give us a heart of flesh, a heart that cares, a heart that has love, that has faith, that has God living in us. And that's a promise we will receive when the Spirit comes on us, according to Ezekiel 36. But you also find this passage in Joel 2 promising the coming of the Spirit to us and what He will do with us or in us when He comes. Now, I chose to focus on this passage tonight because it's also a passage that Peter quotes when this actually happens. Now, this happens at Pentecost when the Spirit came upon God's disciples, on the church. So we'll actually celebrate that next Sunday. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And on that day, we will focus on the Bible passage as well, explaining exactly what happened on that day, that powerful moment when the Spirit came on the disciples. Now, what happened very briefly was, I'll mention the whole thing next week, but just in 2 seconds, what happened was the disciples gathered together in a small little room. They were very fearful. They were timid. They didn't have the courage to go out. And they were praying. And then the Spirit came upon them. And it sounded like a strong wind blowing in this small little room. And they started to see flames, fire appearing on all the disciples. And then all of a sudden they had courage and they went out. And they started preaching the gospel. And they did so in different languages of that time. So one of the disciples maybe even started speaking Afrikaans. Probably didn't. But people there understood them, and they were able to hear the gospel in their own message from different nations and tongues. And when that happened, Peter stood up, and he wanted to explain to the people exactly what has just happened. And when he does so, he refers to this passage in Joel 2. And he tells them in the words of Acts 2, verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now, just to make it even more clear, the very old English, which I'm sure all of you read when you read the Bible, the King James Bible, says this about that verse. It says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It just makes it so specific, doesn't it? This is that which Joel spoke about, says Peter. This is exactly what Joel was speaking about that has now been fulfilled. So what happened, I think what we need to understand is just as a summary almost this. Joel predicted about 800 years before it happened that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on the disciples. Peter says this has now happened. And in fact, it continues to happen because for the next 2,000 years, we keep on receiving the Spirit, and the Spirit keeps on working in us. He's still being poured out on us. So this is the time we're living in. And it will continue. To all those who come with faith, all those who receive and accept the message of the salvation of Christ, they all do that because the Spirit is working in their hearts and it's still being poured out today. But we want to focus on this passage specifically and understand what it means, because when God gives His Spirit to us, He has a special and specific purpose for that. He doesn't give His disciples His Spirit so that they might be able just to speak different languages. You can study that in textbooks. But He has a purpose for giving His Spirit to His disciples. And He tells them this before they actually receive it. In Acts 1 verse 8 it says, in the words of Jesus, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So there's a purpose for receiving the Holy Spirit. And I think actually that purpose we find in Joel 2 as well and mentioned there. So we'll focus on that today. If you want to, you can have a look at the passage itself. I'm just going to point to a couple of verses only. Such powerful verses which I think at the center of this whole message. Have a look at verse 28. "Afterward, I will pour out My Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions," and so on. Just those first words. Just consider them. They are so meaningful. I will pour out My Spirit. It sounds like something very brief, but there's so much content in just those words. Just consider them with me. What is God saying? I will pour out My Spirit. It's something God does. It's not something we do. It's the sovereign Lord who gives us His Spirit. And there's so much grace in that, that we can't deserve it, you can't work for it, or you cannot buy it. It's something God gives to us. It's something He pours out in us. I cannot, as I mentioned this as well, I think last week, I cannot give you the Holy Spirit. And I think it's very presumptuous of me, just a creature, to think that I can command God and give God to someone. I can tell you about Him. I can witness about Him. I can preach His Word. And through that, God gives His Spirit to many. But it's still Him giving His Spirit. It's not us attaining it. It's Him giving it to us. I will give or pour out My Spirit. The second word, if you emphasize that, I will pour out My Spirit. It's such a great promise God makes 800 years before it even happens. You know that God never lies, you all know that, I'm sure, but if God makes a promise and He doesn't lie, then that promise will be fulfilled. So if you look at all the promises of God in the Bible, then you can stand on those and know that they will come true. And here we find one great example of that. God says, I will pour out My Spirit. And Peter says in Acts 2, this is that. It happened. If God promises something, He will do it. He promised His Spirit, and He gave us His Spirit to work in us. I will pour out My Spirit. Think about those words, because they are specifically chosen. It's not just a small gift He gives. It's not a trickle of water He supplies. It's a pouring out of His Spirit. It's like a river that nothing and no one can stop. If God pours out His Spirit on us, you get the whole Spirit, and it's all His power working in you. What does He give? Who does He give? I will pour out My Spirit. And we focused on that last week, acknowledging that God is, the Spirit is the paraclete coming alongside us and being there for us in so many ways. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful gift God has given us. Because this had come true for us. We have already received the Holy Spirit. So we want to look at this prophecy and how it impacts our lives, especially in what Joel says. So I want to do that briefly for you tonight. And first of all, just want to quickly sketch the context of this prophecy. Now, in all prophecies, and I need to mention this as well, a prophecy in the Old Testament very often worked like seeing a mountain range. And maybe I've used this illustration before. If I haven't, I'll probably do so in the future, because I do that very often. All prophecies in the Old Testament, or a lot of them, work like this. Something is mentioned that will happen. And you think that that is the prophecy, but when you look further, it's something else behind it, bigger, that is to come. It's like driving towards a mountain. You go towards the Blue Mountains, for example, and as you come to it, you see the mountains, and you think, ah, there they are. But when you get to them, you actually see, oh, these are just the first little hills. The mountain's actually behind that. It's still coming. And you get to that, and it's still further on. It's behind that. And that's how a prophecy very often works in the Old Testament as well. There's a prophecy made of something that is happening or will happen very soon, but the true fulfillment of this will happen only later. And this is what we find in the book of Joel and his prophecy as well. He talks about people drifting away from the Lord, not repenting from their sin, standing against the Lord, and how the Lord then promises punishment on them, that he will punish them for this and turn them forcefully back to him. His judgment will come upon them. We hear him talk about how that will happen in a large locust plague that will come on the country. A plague that Joel describes will be so great, the sun will darken because of it. And they will be like an army marching, and they will destroy everything in their sight. Those of you who have about a year ago, almost, I think, will recall me talking about locusts as well, and what the Bible teaches us about locusts, and how destructive locusts can be. A swarm can be billions of locusts covering hundreds of square kilometers, devastating thousands of hectares every single day. Very destructive. And in Joel, we hear him say that God's judgment will come on them in this way. And then he says, through that, he also sees hope, and he sees grace. He sees God giving restoration and God bringing salvation to his people. So not all hope is lost. If you turn back to the Lord, there will be salvation for you. And right when he talks about this, this is when he also makes the promise of the Holy Spirit coming to us. He mentions things like the fields will turn green again, and the fruit trees will bear fruit, and they will bear fig trees will bear figs as well again, and the harvest will come in, and also God will give us His Holy Spirit and pour Him out on us, so that we will be changed through that. It says, afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. I just have to look at how it starts. Afterwards. After what? After the judgment had come. Now, for the people of Israel, when they heard Joel speak about this, the first mountain Joel is speaking about is this locust plague coming upon them, God's judgment reaching them at that time. But we now know that these words came true about 800 years later. So the afterwards we know about refers to something else. After what? It's after God's judgment falls on His Son. Not on us, but on Christ dying for all our sins on the cross and taking up our punishment as He dies for us. And not only will locusts, as Joel mentions, darken the sun, but the sun itself was darkened for 3 hours when Christ takes on our punishment. And afterwards, Joel sees God will pour out His Spirit. And that is what happens at Pentecost. Afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. So who receives this promise? It's so specific once again. It's so universal. He tells us this will happen on your sons and your daughters, your old and your young servants, both men and women. See, the Spirit will not discriminate at all. He will come on all, and He will be in us in same equal manner as well. He will be within us in the same power in all of us. On all. Doesn't matter your age. Doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your class or your occupation, whether you're a professional or doctor, whether you're unemployed even, the Spirit comes on you in the same way and in the same power. Briefly, I know a lot of my learned colleagues will probably argue with me about this and say they don't see it here and think about other passages, but I just see here that the Spirit doesn't discriminate against anyone, and He makes us all to become prophets. And it's mentioned men and women as well. So for me to have women on the pulpit just makes so much sense if I read a passage like this. But that's a brief statement to make. I know there'll be arguments against it as well. The Spirit comes on all. We're all equal before Him. You know that there are some people as well, or some churches, who believe that some are more important than others. If you're a higher up in the church, then you have more importance and maybe more of the Spirit even. Or others think that there are to be you have to differentiate between Christians and a reborn Christian. I don't know how you see that. Or Christian and a Spirit-filled Christian, someone who's living with the gifts of the Spirit. I don't see how you get that from this passage. The Spirit is given to all of us. The Spirit is poured out into our hearts. And every single person who accepts Christ as his Savior, every single person who Christ died for on the cross, every single person who is now a son or a daughter of God receives the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is poured out into you. And you receive that gift and you have that gift within you. It's so amazing for us to just appreciate that once again tonight. Do you know that God made this promise almost 3,000 years ago? And that promise came true in your life. God poured out His Spirit in your heart. If you love God, if you have that sense of belonging, if you want to serve the Lord Jesus, then that is because that Spirit was poured out into you. It's such an amazing treasure if we understand what God has given to us. How does that change us? What does it make us? But according to Joel's prophecy, when we receive the Holy Spirit, He turns us all into prophets. Now, what does that mean? What did a prophet do? A prophet was a person who had insight into God's will and was proclaiming that to those around him. And he often received insight into God's will by dreams and visions that revealed to him what God wanted, and he would then go out and say to the people, "So says the Lord," and reveal to them what God wanted. Now, according to Joel, when we receive the Spirit, and the Spirit works in us, He makes us all prophets for God and for Christ if we reveal Him and as Peter says, proclaim Him. And yet very often we say, or we think even, that not all people can do that. We might think, also, what do they know when we look at very young people, young children, what do they know, so we don't listen to them. Or when we look at the very old, we might think, oh, well, they don't really know what's going on in life anymore, so what do they know? Or some would say that about women, or others would say that about men. Or some would say that about someone who's a young believer, that they don't know much yet, so we shouldn't listen to them. But then again, if the Spirit is working in them, if you receive the Holy Spirit, He makes you an instrument in God's hands. He makes you a prophet for Him. How does that work? Think about this. So Joel's words are that, first of all, that old people will have or dream dreams. Old people will dream dreams. Well, we all dream dreams, so certainly it's talking about something else here. It's not just a normal dream that we would have. It's more revelation that God brings to us. What would that dream be? Why old people? Why are they mentioned here? Well, when I talk to the 8:30 crowd about this, they would probably look at me and say, well, this doesn't relate to me because I'm not old yet. But then again, if I speak to my kids, they would say, yeah, this is about this, this is about you. You're the old person dreaming these dreams. Doesn't matter how you think, whether you're old or not. What does it mean? An old person, what would an old person normally dream? An old person would probably think about and dream about the life they've had. Such a rich and long life with so many rich experiences. And they would reminisce about all the things that have happened before and have dreams about all the things of the past and how that influenced them and things like that and how things had been. But when the Spirit works in your heart, it's a bit of a change because you don't only just dream about that, but the dreams you have is some thoughts and some dreams and some insight beyond the horizon. It's about God's kingdom still coming. It's about having hope, believing in the unseen. And those are the dreams you then dream. You dream about God's kingdom growing, and you dream about people coming to faith. And those are the thoughts then running in your mind. And we have so many of that in our own congregation as well. If you speak to a believing older person, they don't think about this is the end of life, this is the end of God's kingdom. They still have that vision, that thought, that hope of things to come and things to change and how the church will function in future as well. So there's a lot of future thought in that. And those are the insight I think God is giving insights, and that's how the Spirit works in the heart of people. Joel also mentions the young. Joel says that the young, your sons and your daughters, will have visions. Now, what's a vision? A vision is like having a dream while not asleep. So you're awake and you're conscious, but you're having a dream as a revelation of God. And those visions would be something like seeing God on his throne, for example, which a young Stephen did. Seeing God on his throne, knowing that Christ reigns, and seeing that God is still doing things for us in this time we are living in, and having an insight into that. And once again, very often people wrongly, I think, look at young people and say, well, I think our young people is losing that. I don't think they have that. I think they're so focused on the world they're living in at the moment. They're so preoccupied with what they are wearing, perhaps, or the money they will make when they get to work one day, or their friends around us. And when you don't have the Spirit, I think that might be what the focus of a lot of young people are, or would be. But I have been so surprised, I think encouraged in our church to see that this is not the case, that God is pouring out his Spirit on so many young people as well and working in their hearts. And you can see that in this change they have, the visions they have, how they see God and still reigning and wanting to serve him in the world we are living in. Have you ever had a young, very young person, two, 3-year-old, come up to you and talk to you about what they learned at Sunday school, for example, or share an insight with you, and just think, wow, a 2-year-old gets this. It's so amazing to hear. And that's the Spirit working in their hearts. In this church, we are blessed with a lot of teenagers and young people doing things in church. Why? Not because they're getting paid, not because they just want to do things, but I think it's because they have the Spirit working in their hearts, driving them to do things for the proclamation of God and for His glory, and it's because of what they feel and how the Spirit moves in them. That's the visions they're getting. I think it's not just a dream you're getting and something specific, but that's how the Spirit changes their lives. We have that tonight in the band. Sorry, Dion. You are one of the young ones as well, but the rest of the band tonight, did you see them? They're all young people. They're all young people. And one not so young, my age, person. Oh, you're still young. But that's how the Spirit, I think, works in us. Let me mention to you a couple of other things as well. We have young people in our church going out to Ivanhoe Place, tutoring younger kids who need it. Why are they doing that? They're not getting paid, and they're not just serving because someone told them to. But I think it's the Spirit working in these young people's hearts to understand that there's a God on his throne, there's a God leading this church, there's a kingdom we need to serve, and there's a kingdom growing. And that's what the Spirit does. I've been so encouraged in the last week or so with two of our young people in church, and you'll get to hear this soon again, coming to see me about a new ministry they want to start, reaching out to our community. How can they serve our community? How can they help us as a church reach out to people around us? And they're coming up with some great plans as to what we can do about that. Why do these two people think about this? Because that is the vision that God is planting in their hearts through His Spirit. And we are so, we should be so encouraged to see how the Spirit is working here and all around this world, how the Spirit has been poured out in all of us, and we have received so much in Him. He truly changes our lives. And when we become prophets, it's not about going out into the street corners and standing there and shouting at the top of your voice about God's Word. It might be that, and that might make a difference, but that might not be the truth for all of us. But the way you live, the way the Spirit fills you, the way that changes who you are and how you live your life, that is spreading the kingdom of God as well. Brief example too. This afternoon, Dave Colmer and the Candlelight Group went to the emergency department of Westmead Hospital once again and distributed about 100 flowers to all the ladies there, to the mums. Just showing them the love of Christ. Just telling them, someone's thinking about you and I'm praying for you in this difficult circumstance you are finding yourself in. That's what the Spirit does in us. Tomorrow they'll be going out, handing out 200 gift cards. So please be praying for them once again and for those receiving those gifts and see where this comes from, to find some of the Spirit as well in their lives. Moses, going back again, Moses longed for this to happen. In Numbers 11, verse 29, we hear Moses say, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. Joel said in his prophecy, it's going to happen. Peter said, it happened. And we live in that truth. May that be true for all of us as well. Let's pray.